Sam just asked me to share with you that he's during the singing of the last song, he saw a picture of the cross, and it was just like a sword going into the ground, and that this was the place where everything was fulfilled and everything was finished. All of the prophets and the promises were fulfilled at the cross, and everything is finished, and we live in a finished work. And that's why we serve God from a place of rest, because we're not trying. We're not trying now to try and earn something from God or to try to please God, because he loves us. And the cross is proof of that love. And thank you, Sam, for that. John has been speaking this morning about renewing our passion, stirring that passion within us. Because I don't know, maybe not so much for the younger people here, but as you get older, you begin to realize how time is ticking by, and you want, well, I personally want to leave a legacy. I want to leave a legacy behind. I want to leave something healthy behind that the young people who take over from us, that, you know, that, well, not even take over, but are coming up now, you know, and we praise God for every young person in this church. And, you know, I just think it's really important, because there's no time to waste. We can get so wrapped up in the cares of this world, but there's no time to waste. Jesus is coming back soon. And, you know, and we praise God and we're looking forward to that. But there are millions of people still don't know Jesus. And, you know, we've been praying for names, that people that we know, people that we love, that we're acquainted with, and just praying that God will change the hearts, and that the Holy Spirit would send across their path laborers who would tell them about Jesus, and then say to the Holy Spirit, and I'm here and I'm willing to be one of those laborers who cross their path and who speaks. So more than just praying for the names in the box, we should be praying to the Lord of the harvest to send in laborers, and then volunteering and saying, I'm one of them. I want to be one of the laborers in the field. I don't want to sit outside the field. I want to be in that field. So on that note of renewing our passion and fulfilling what God wants us to fulfill and leaving a legacy, and whatever it is that stirs you up in your heart, I've been reading a book recently. It's been part of a college course that I'm on. I've got 5 books to read. 4 of them I've never heard of the authors, but this one I've heard of, and his name's Andrew Womack. And he's speaking on the subject of excellence, and it's really challenged me. So a lot of what I'm saying tonight is what's challenged me from this book. And so I'm going to share it with you, and I just pray that your hearts will be open to hear what the message is. Pursuing an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit is like an excellent attitude, having an excellent attitude. And pursuing an excellent spirit is not something that just happens. It doesn't just pop into your life. You have to choose to develop the characteristics of an excellent spirit. And that development grows through your relationship with Jesus. Now, the whole reason that we have potential for greatness is because of Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of him. Now Christ lives his life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving Spirit imparts life into you because you are fully accepted by God. The key to promotion is not our circumstances or our abilities, but having an excellent attitude, an excellent spirit. Even in the small, insignificant things, it's really important to do the very best that you can. Even when it seems like it's really mundane and no one even notices that you're doing the things that you do. Maybe in your job or at home, it's the same old thing over and over. But in those times, if we are pursuing a spirit of excellence, we do it with a good attitude. It has to be done with a good attitude. Because even though nobody else might notice, if you are doing what you're doing unto the Lord, he notices. And that's really important. He notices what we are like in our heart. He sees the motive of our heart in all we do. And Daniel was a man whose circumstances couldn't have been any worse. He was a prisoner of war. He was a captive in a pagan country. It couldn't have got much worse for him. And yet, he was noticed because he had an excellent spirit. And this is what Daniel 6, verse 3 says. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps. I think that's how you say that. Because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. I mean, this is amazing. This is a man who is in a foreign country, a pagan country, and he's a prisoner. And yet, his excellent spirit, his excellent attitude got him noticed. And to such a degree that the king was willing to put him over all of his kingdom. That's amazing. We should never give less than our best. We should not have the same attitude as this world. Oh, who cares? I'm not bothered. We should never have that. As a Christian, we shouldn't be like that. John 17, verses 14 to 16, it says that Jesus was not of this world. Well, neither are we. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And so our attitudes, even in a bad situation, is what marks us as different. An excellent spirit starts by the way we think in our heart. Proverbs 23, verse 7 is a verse probably all of us know by now, that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Because whatever you think on, that's the way, that's the direction that you're going to go. If you think dark, depressive thoughts, I can guarantee that you'll end up in depression. If you fix your mind on Jesus and you focus on him and being in his presence, I can guarantee you'll be filled with joy. And even in the worst of circumstances, you can have an excellent spirit. It just depends what you're focusing on, where you put in your thoughts. That's why we have to take every thought captive. Because not every thought that enters your head is your thought or God's thought. It can be coming from another source. It can be coming from this world, which is very negative in its outlook. And you know, we have to be careful. You can't stop a thought from coming into your mind, but you can stop it from staying there and dwelling on it. You can take it captive to Jesus and let him be the Lord of your thinking in everything that we think. And so we have to choose what we're going to do. The choice is ours to pursue an excellent spirit. We have to choose to think upon the right things. We must choose God's way, which goes against this the popular beliefs of this world. What this world says is normal is abnormal when you look in the Bible. What this world says is natural is unnatural when you look in the Bible. And we have to go by what the Word of God says and not be squeezed into the mold that this world tells us we have to be like. We don't have to be like that. In fact, in God's kingdom, the way up is down. The way up is down. It's when we get down on our knees. It's when we do things God's way. He says, in giving, you receive. This world says, rubbish. But the Bible says, in giving, you receive. And that's what we need to be doing. We are called to love our enemies. We are called to bless those who curse us. We are called to do good to those who hate us. We are called to pray for those who treat us spitefully and persecute us. And if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you have to learn to be the servant of all. We must not resent seemingly small beginnings. You know, where you're at right now, don't resent small beginnings, but continue where you're at right now to have an excellent spirit, to do all that God wants you to do, even in those small things, because he is watching. He's not watching in a way that, ooh, you step out of line and I'll... He's not like that. He's watching. He's seeing you pass the tests because he knows the plans he has for you is far greater than where you're at right now. Not everything that is around your life right now, it's not what it seems. There is something more. There is always more with God. And so we have to have an excellent spirit right where we are. We have to be faithful and start with the little that we've got and thank God for it and bless it. Don't curse what you've got. Bless what you've got, even if it's small and it seems insignificant. What did Jesus do when a little boy gave him 5 loaves and 2 fish? Jesus didn't look at it and think, what am I going to do with that? No. He thanked God for it. He thanked his heavenly Father. He blessed it. And what happened? It multiplied. There was a miracle. One of the greatest miracles in the Bible took place because Jesus did not despise that little boy giving him his packed lunch. And that's basically what Jesus had to work with. And he fed 5,000 men plus women and children. So don't grumble and complain about the job that you're in right now. Don't criticize your boss. Instead, see it as God's present provision for you and always give 100% to it right where you're at. Be a person of integrity like Daniel and just leave the rest to God. You don't have to keep pushing at everything, every door. You just need to have an excellent spirit, an excellent attitude where you're at, and God will open the doors. He will make the way. There is great power in knowing God's true nature and in your true identity. To know who you are in Christ, and don't intimidate this world. I've got that word wrong. Imitate this world. Yeah, you can intimidate if you like, in a nice way. But we aren't to imitate this world. We're not to copy what this world does. We are to stand out and be different. When Daniel was faced with the lion's den, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were faced with the fiery furnace, they were steadfast, they were immovable, because they knew their God, and they knew who they were in relation to their God. And throughout the persecution that they had, and even at the risk of losing their lives, they maintained this excellent spirit. They did not curse the king. They remained respectful to the king, even when he was stoking the fire up and he was having a raging fit with them. These four Hebrew men who were prisoners in this pagan country had a relationship with the living God. And we have a relationship with God, and there's power in that relationship with God. It's not just, oh, I got saved however many years ago it is for me, I can't remember now, but it's not about that. This relationship is living and powerful, and it's right for right now. It's the foundation for our success, because they knew who God was and they trusted him, and they knew who they were in relation to him. God is limitless and eternal, yet we can limit God. We can limit what he can do inside of our life and through our life. We can limit him. And you know, it's not the chains of the past that hold you as a Christian, because those chains are broken. It's you who's got hold of the chains, and you won't let those broken chains go. So it seems like you're still in bondage, you're still in a prison, but you are not let go of the broken chains, because they broke the moment that you received Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And we must never forget that. Yeah, it's a good place to clap. So we need to embrace our identity in Christ, that we are free in Jesus. Satan's number one attack on you is to get you to doubt what God has said about you. Satan's number one attack. It was the first attack on mankind. If we go back into Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. Got your Bibles, you can turn there and have a look for yourselves. It's there. Genesis 3, verse 5 says, and this was Satan that was speaking. The serpent was speaking to Eve, and he tempted her to eat of the fruit. And he said, God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Turn now to Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. She was already like God. She was already made in his likeness. And yet Satan said, you'll become like God if you eat of this tree. That was a lie. She didn't know who she was. She didn't know. She can't have done, because immediately she would have turned and said, what are you talking about? I'm already like him. I'm made in his likeness, in his image. That's who I am. And we have to remember who we are. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. The old things are passed away and all things have become new. And we must never forget our true identity. We are who God says we are. Galatians, we are free in Christ. And Galatians 5, verse 1 from the Passion Translation says, let me be clear, the Anointed One has set us free, not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. Those chains are broken. We must always cherish this truth that we are free in Christ. We must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back to the bondage of our past. To have an excellent spirit requires humility. Whatever gifts you have, whatever talents you've got, whatever abilities you have, whatever revelations that you've received, He is the source of them all. You wouldn't have all those things. You wouldn't be talented with the talents that you've got if He hadn't have given that. Everything that we have comes from God, and we must never forget that. He has given us every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And all of these good things are given to you. So it's all about Him. It's not about you. And so He rightfully gets all the glory from any talents you have and any abilities, any revelation. He gets all the glory because He was the one that gave it. He's the source of everything good in us. True humility recognizes God. True humility recognizes God. You cannot walk in excellence without this true humility. Recognizing that any independence from God is pride. Any independence from God is pride. We were created to be God-dependent, not independent. And so we must recognize this. Humility is when we are God-confident. Humility is when we are God-dependent. When the sovereign God says that I am the righteousness of God in Christ, that is not arrogance. That is humility. That's saying, God, I agree with what you say about me, and I will not say otherwise. I'm in agreement with you. When He says you are loved with an everlasting love, I'm not going to disagree with Him. That's humility. If we agree with God, what He says in His word about us, when it says you are forgiven, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. It's false humility to say, oh no, not me. No, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That is false humility. It's religion. Because we were a sinner, but now we are saved by grace. Now I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has gone and the new has come. And that's true humility. When we agree with what God says, it is not arrogance to agree with God's word. When we recognize, so true humility does not deny who we are in Christ. It just recognizes that I had nothing to do with it. He did it all. It's His righteousness. It's His purity, it's His holiness in my spirit. It's not anything that I have done. I haven't made myself righteous or right with God. I haven't made myself acceptable to God. He has done that. That's what it says in the Bible. So humility requires submission. God cannot get close to pride. It doesn't mean that He doesn't love the proud person, or that He is about to punish them or reject them. It simply means He cannot bless. He cannot pour out blessing upon pride. You're in the wrong place. If you're in pride, you're in the wrong place for God's blessing. If God says do it, then just do it. And don't try to figure it all out. And do it with a good attitude. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 7. It says, trust the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do, and He will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment that you know it all, for wisdom comes when you adore Him. and with undivided devotion and avoid anything that is wrong. He will not force you or me to obey. But you'd think by now that the penny would drop. That when we do it our way, we make a mess of things. We get into terrible messes when we do things our way. When we lean on our own understanding, it leads to a mess. We should not compromise. Just trying hard to copy Daniel's attitude and actions in the face of a bad situation will not work, not without the heart that produced Daniel's actions. Whichever way you look at it, wrong attitudes will always void right actions. You can do all of the right things. You can do everything right. You can do exactly as you're told to do. But if you're doing it with a bad attitude, it just voids it. It voids it. That's why God is more interested in the attitude of our hearts rather than the right actions that we do. A person of integrity is consistent and doesn't compromise and does not live to please man. Pursue an excellent spirit and don't fear man. Do what God tells you to do without compromise. Never back down from God's word. It's not part of an excellent spirit. The word of God is our sure foundation, so never back down from it. When you know the truth will always set you free. It's not God's kind of love when we don't care enough to speak to someone and speak the truth in love to each other. Real love is when you risk being misunderstood instead of playing it safe so that and compromising so that everybody will just like you. We're not to fear man. But you know, we need to understand that a victorious life doesn't come without opposition. But all we have in Christ is there for us to overcome. And in the face of persecution, we can lift up the shield of faith. Faith overcomes, it doesn't avoid. So it doesn't avoid persecution and run away from persecution. Faith stands. Faith overcomes. For the sake of the word, if we are persecuted, your faith is enough to overcome. Don't let your problems take center stage. Stuff happens to everybody. But it needn't stop you from fulfilling all that God has planned for you with a right attitude and an excellent spirit. Life's problems can be the very thing that promote you. Just like Daniel's, all of his problems promoted him because he went through those problems with an excellent spirit. And God delivered him from the lion's mouth. We have to stand up for the truth. It can be costly, but we have to stand up for the truth. We must never let a bad attitude in us give unbelievers a reason to bad mouth the God that you love. Never let a bad attitude in you give unbelievers the reason to bad mouth God. It's not enough to just obey God. We have to have a submissive heart. Obedience with an excellent attitude is what God is looking for. And there's a difference between obedience and submission. You might think at first, no, I can't see any difference, but there is. There was a little boy, and he was told, he was being quite naughty, and he was told, sit down, right now, sit down, he was told. So he sat down, but he muttered under his breath, might be sat down, but inside I'm stood up. There's a difference between obedience and submission. Submission is the heart. Submit, so you can obey, but in your heart, that is not the obedience that God is looking for. He's looking for a submissive heart. Yes, Lord, if you say it, I will do it, and I'll do it with a good attitude. Just remember, this greatness of a good attitude, we can do it because of Romans 8, verse 9 and 10, which I started off with, and I'm finishing with this now. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of Him. Now Christ lives His life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, His life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Shall we just pray? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus, because, Lord, you are looking for excellence in us, Lord. But, Lord, you will never force us. But we pray, Lord, that we will always remember, do you know what? I can do this because Christ lives in me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And we thank you, Lord, for your power that lives within us. We thank you that all that you are is inside us. That's why we can say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so, Lord, I pray today that we will remember the word from this morning as well. And, Lord, that we will stir up, Lord, our passion for you. That we will not, Lord, be diluted and compromise and imitate this world. But, Lord, we will stand out. We will be like Daniel. We will be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We will be like King David. We will be like Joseph. Lord, all of these men who had excellent spirits. Lord, we pray, reveal these things to us and let us go deeper with you. In Jesus' name, amen.